The Team Never Quit podcast is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal's new Cash Rewards Plus card will have you earning unlimited 2% cash back on every purchase. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. This episode is brought to you by Tractor Supply's Hometown Heroes program. Go check out all their benefits, including special discounts on hero holidays at TractorSupply.com/HometownHeroes.
The more people sometimes, the harder it becomes, and everybody just wants to help. But like, you know, we were fortunate to get in the way we got in. I don't think any of us had expectations either. We didn't ask anybody. No one was there yet. It was just us.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit podcast. As always, thank you guys so much for listening and watching, and please don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button wherever you're getting this show. So today, before we kick it off with our special guest, let's do what we usually do and get with our weekly Patreon question. And this week we've got, what is a movie that you could quote front to back?
That's Marcus's job.
Do you got one?
I don't even have one, my favorite movies in the world, when I watch it, I see something new every time. Like, I cannot memorize movie quotes.
Mine's Step Brothers, for sure.
Freaking great one. How about you?
Probably Heat.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That gunfight scene, they're on point.
They're coming out with Heat 2.
Really? God, I hope they don't mess it up.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, they won't.
Yeah. It's going to be.
Because that dude can...
Yeah.
They can get after it. Let's see. Let's start with, we'll go with Tombstone. Then we'll go with Lonesome Dove. Then we'll go with Ghostbusters. Big Trouble in Little China. Old School. Step Brothers. The Other Guys. Any Mark Wahlberg movie. Anything with Jeff Bridges in it. Huge John Candy fan.
Yeah.
Team America.
All yeah.
Dude, every team guy can spit that one, right?
I've been trying to, trying to tell her we're gonna watch it.
Oh yeah, I have. Most team guys are fluent, and that's how we actually
MacGruber.
Speak. Yeah, MacGruber's. Oh yeah,
yeah.
Good one, man.
Rad.
And we go back to the '80s from The Great Outdoors. All the '85 movies.
Yeah, they're good.
Phenomenal. All the Indiana Jones. My brother and I used to do this thing where you just say one line from it, you had to name the movie. Then you had to name the actor, but the actor's name in the movie.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, Days of Thunder. Any Tom Cruise movie. Bruce Willis, any one of his. Stallone, of course, and Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
All right, you're bragging.
What was it, just one? Rabbit hole. See, like I told you, man. Yeah. All right, let's go.
Yeah, Marcus is literally... He should be employed by the movie industry somehow because he knows everything. And he can come up with, like, the most amazing scenes and stuff. He's got all these ideas.
I tell you what, in school, if they would teach us like that through the movies, every kid would remember, like, math.
Yeah.
If there was a math thing in there with a freaking good movie, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
One of my sisters is the same way, and she speaks in movie quote language.
She's really good.
And they, like... Connected.
We go back and forth all day.
Yeah, they're so close because they can talk to each other in movie quotes. Yeah. And they'll say something to me, and I'm like...
It's actually how she and I got to know each other and like had formed our bond. Yeah. I was sitting there, and a situation arose, and she threw a movie line out like that fit. Perfect timing was great and everything like that, and I looked at her, never looked at her the same. I was like, oh, yeah.
All best right, friends.
Sister. Yeah.
Yeah, they are best friends. Like, it's so funny.
Love her
I'm
death.
Like... They'll say something. I'm like, is that a movie quote or are y'all just being weird?
Yeah. All right. That was a good question. Yeah. All right, brother. Thanks for coming on here, man.
Yeah, thanks
I'd like
for
to introduce
me.
You to the team. The way we do that is kind of getting a little bit about your backstory because you're a SEAL And that in itself is just a great accomplishment. So people like to hear about that and how you got started in it. Where were you born and raised?
Born in Colorado, but was only there for like 2 years. My dad was part of the marathon team for the Olympics.
Really? So
their training center's there in Colorado Springs. That's where they do a lot of their sports. The Olympic training center there.
It's still there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Big fan of the Olympics.
Yeah. I was only there until I was like two, and then I grew up in North Carolina.
Whereabouts?
Charlotte, like right outside of Charlotte.
Dude, okay. So there's a restaurant there called Mertz. It's a soul food restaurant. Have you ever eaten there?
Mm-mm. Right in downtown.
Hmm.
And we're going. It's right Marcus's now. Yeah? All-time favorite restaurant in the United States.
Yeah?
I mean, all-time favorite.
I'll go out of my way to go eat there.
I'm back.
Straight soul food. When you walk in there, bro, you know it.
Yeah.
And it's in the city, like in this little...
Right in downtown. We stumbled on it when we had a thing called Patriot Tour where we went around and did these public speeches. And our hotel happened to be like a couple doors down from it. And he was hooked.
Every now and again, this crazy craving for soul food, man. And I just happened to be on a lecture series too beforehand and wandered in there. Never forgot it. I'm like their biggest fan. I don't think they know I exist either.
Yeah, I don't think they know who
they
he is.
They have no idea who I am or anything, but
yeah.
It's a freaking, if you ever catch yourself in downtown, man, that's where you
Charlotte,
go.
Yeah, North Carolina. Yeah,
go there.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so your dad was how'd that happen, marathon trainer?
No, he was a runner.
An actual runner, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he grew up in Houston. He ran at Rice.
Oh, wow.
And then switched over to pro running, I guess, whatever you want to call it, and then got called up.
What about mom?
She was a runner too, but not not to that level. But she would do like races, like marathons on the week. Like, you know, she was a runner.
You got any siblings?
Two younger sisters.
They run?
They ran in high school. They don't run anymore.
So let me ask a question. Do you run?
Not anymore.
But you can run though?
Yeah. I mean, I played soccer, but I never like ran. Like I just wouldn't. I could have been really good at it, but there's no way I was gonna do it because my dad was. It would have been too much. You know what I mean? Because he was so good at it, and then coming underneath, like it wouldn't have been fun.
Yeah.
But
too competitive, almost.
Yeah, just it would have been like I think. Well, if any dad would have been like if he was gonna go to Bud's, you'd probably be.
That's why we specifically. We're like, you do not have to go to the military with Hunter because it was right when Lone Survivor was coming out. Like everything was so big and we didn't want that pressure on him. Yeah, I'm sure it's like that with your dad. Not having that pressure.
Wow. Yeah. Send him in under a different name. Don't tell any of the instructors that you're my kid. Yeah. I mean, that's a big thing. People, I say, hey man, if you go to Bud, don't tell them you know me.
No.
Anybody who's thinking about going to Buzz, don't tell the instructors that you know a SEAL.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
That will not work out in your favor.
No.
Period.
Speaking of, what's 295?
Dude, as a kid, I freaking mentored a little bit. He went in there and they freaking got him out quick and sent me his helmet.
He did the same thing, though. He kept name dropping.
He name dropped.
Yeah. And
I told him not to do it. Mm-hmm. And the instructors called me up and said, hey, you know this freaking kid, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. I was like, yeah, well, what's up? He's like, oh, we got him. I was like, all right, cool. And his helmet showed up in the mail.
Dude, that's intense.
How about that? Dude, that's like, they didn't even put it on the mail, dude. They put it right there.
Dude.
So any kid that tries to come in and say, hey, will you shout or mentor me? I'm like, let me tell you something.
What is that kid doing now?
Who knows?
Oh, really?
I have no idea. Morgan did the same thing. Like, he put a lot of work into a kid, and they didn't make it either. Mm-hmm. He name dropped. Freaking, they were on him. Like, chewed him up, spit him out.
My theory is if they want Marcus or Morgan or anyone that has really any SEAL, like if they want someone to mentor them, they don't have the fire in the gut that they need. Like they need to do it from within.
Yeah.
Not to have somebody else pour into them. They need to like do all the research, look it up, look up what you need for PT, all that kind of stuff, and just do it from within your own motivation and determination, not because you're with a former SEAL and having them pour into you.
How did you even find out about SEALs?
I was in college.
What got you? What was your
So the school I went to for 2 years, it was a junior college. I played there and then was transferred my third year to 4 years, like finished my whatever, a Division II school. But the junior college I was going to had a cadet program, Georgia Military College. So, and this is 2004. You know, so this is like the height of the wars.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was kind of burnt out. Didn't really like school. It's not like I was going to go pro. So I was like, what am I doing? And then one of the guys that I knew, he was a cadet. He was like, yeah, I just signed a contract to go EOD. And I'm like, what's EOD? And he told me, yeah, they work with like the SEALs. I'm like, wait, so you just go to the recruiter and if you meet the requirements, like you'll get a contract to go. He's like, yeah. I was like, all right. So hit up the motivator that was down there, Frank Cutler, old Team 2 guy. Good dude.
Cool.
Yeah, he's in Atlanta. So school's in Georgia, and started the process. Ended up going to college for one more season, and then I just had it and restarted the process to go in. And but that's really kind of – I mean, I knew about SEALs growing up, but back then, dude –
nothing.
No, might be like a book, maybe.
Yeah, that one documentary is Silent Option.
I didn't even see that, dude. I thought Buds, like, honestly, I went in there. I knew what it entailed. It sucked, but I didn't know about any of the daily activities. I just thought you carried a log around with you for 6 months. Like, honestly, I didn't.
What year was this?
08.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. You're young. So what Buzz class were you when you went in?
So I came in the Navy, contract 274, rolled for pool comp, didn't pass it again, 2 years out in the fleet, then came back.
Oh, since where'd you go?
Right. Do you know where the SQT building is on the wet side? Or like the bay side?
Yeah, where we did.
Are you asking me if I know where the SQT building is?
Yeah, well, I didn't know if you went through. Did you go through SQT or was that a team? Wasn't it? Right?
I was the last class to have it. Or the first class to have it, yeah.
Okay. So where the SQT building is, there's that command right next to it.
Yeah.
With all the barges. Mm-hmm. I worked there.
Oh, cool. I was going to say you got dolphin detail.
No, I was...
You ever know anybody to do that?
No, that's like EOD guys, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think they have a SEAL or two over there, too.
Do they?
Yeah.
Point Loma? I think
right there.
Oh, I don't think they had them anymore.
Is not there anymore?
No, I think they moved them over to Point.
I dove up on that thing one night accidentally, scared the mess out of me. Like we were doing an attack, and I swam into it. And hit it was like, what the, what is this?
They'll mess you up. Right?
They will mess you up, and they'll scare. They hit the cage when I was sitting in there. They got the SEALs in there too, man. Or they did. Yeah, that was intimidating. You want to talk about being underwater with them suckers, man? It's freaking.
Yeah, dude. I'm good.
That's gnarly.
I'm good.
I don't want that.
So, a pool comp got you?
Yeah.
What?
Last test?
Yeah. OC. It got me 3 times.
Yeah.
I was on the weeping wall 3 times. I tried. Oh, I ditched on a third stage. I thought it was a whammy.
Yeah.
And then my fourth time down there, I was down there for about 40-something minutes.
Damn.
Yeah, it's Instructor Calvin. He made me earn it. I thought he hated me, but after we were done, he was like, I just wanted you to know you earned it. Which I respect. Respected that, right?
For
when
sure.
When they say that?
For sure.
So then you came back in and would you just throw your package back? Oh, they sent you over there to save you, right? Keep you hidden over there so they can bring you back?
Well, I mean, I had a good, it wasn't like a DUI or disciplinary.
Yeah, you weren't turd or anything like that.
No, so I already made it through Hell Week. So it was just the 2 years, and pretty much like on the dot, I was back in two years, back day one.
Phased up?
Mm-hmm.
Straight through?
Yep.
How was it second time around? Still sucks?
I mean, you know a little bit more.
Yeah.
It still sucked, but like the difference between, I guess, 2008 and... I guess we've been like, let's just call it 2010 when I went back. Huge difference.
Yeah.
The gloves were on in 2010. In 2008, it was...
Yeah, it was different. Yeah. I understand.
It still
sucks. It changes like that.
Yeah.
So 2010, was that 290?
288. 288. Yep. 288.
Yeah, we had Justin Hughes on the other day, and he's 290.
Okay.
A painter.
He's an artist, an oil painter.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, legit one.
Yeah.
Is like, does he live in this area?
No. South Carolina.
He's from South Carolina.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's like, should be in museums.
He'll be a famous artist. Mm-hmm. The best thing that happened to him is if he died.
Yeah.
He's that good.
Really?
Yeah.
Justin Hughes.
Actually, you know what? He may not have to die to have his art go the way it's supposed to. He's already got a list of people getting online to buy his stuff. I'll show you one of the paintings.
Yeah.
I have one.
It needs to be in museums. It's like legit oil painting that is amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of team guys that paint.
How about our guys, man?
They paint.
You never know about it when we're in.
You know what I forgot to ask, and I'll ask you. Did you ever do the comics, the Buds drawings, or did y'all have someone that was appointed to do that?
Yeah, I mean, we did them. I didn't do it personally, but definitely had advice for him. Like,
sure, yeah.
But I wasn't I'm not an artist.
Like, this sucker could draw for Disney.
Damn.
Paint for him, man. Like, I didn't do anything with the comics either. We had a guy.
Yeah. Those were the best.
The best.
Those are amazing, and if
there could be a book about those and put it in the museum,
yeah, that would be cool.
We could all look at each classes. That would be priceless.
It's like one of those it's a coffee table book.
It is.
Yeah.
You can just flip through it. I mean, some of them are.
Like, it'd be a gift for you when you get out of when you graduate. That'd be awesome, dude. Each guy gets a photocopy of all the.
Dude, that's a good idea.
You know what I mean?
Classes should start doing that,
right? If we could get a hold of those.
I don't think it would be too hard, dude.
All right. So where'd you go when you graduated, Buds?
8.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
How'd you like that?
It was good.
You wanted to go over to that coast? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would have been around the same time that Morgan was over there.
No, he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was at 10.
At 10, right?
When I was at 8, yeah.
Okay.
That's
I never met him until, I guess, with you. Or here. I didn't meet him until here in Texas. Wow. But yeah, he was at 10 when I was at 8.
He hit a lot of teams.
Was he?
As soon as he crossed over the dark side and became an officer, they sent him to the East Coast. And then he just kind of, from 8 to 10.
Something else.
4, right?
And then he went to SWCC or something.
He did a stretch there too, dissociation tour at 22. He had a great career.
Yeah.
They sent him out to Africa to work at the embassy. He had some.
Where at?
Djibouti, right?
Whoa, yeah.
Well, dude, actually, have you been to Djibouti? I mean, the base sucks. Food's good. I mean, we have a cool compound over there.
Good food?
Yeah, really good food.
Oh, well.
Really good food. But out in town, because we could go out in town, it's pretty cool. Like, there's some areas that are like, it feels like the Mediterranean.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Because it's not too far from Morocco, right?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
How long were you at 8?
2012 to 17.
Oh, you stayed there?
Yeah. Did three deployments there.
How good? Well, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's new guy, one platoon wonder, and then you're in. A lot of guys, you didn't want to shift into another team? Most guys, when they get there, they stay there.
No, I mean, I wanted to, the goal was to screen, and then it was just like, my time was, I could have re-enlisted, but the writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
That's about the time that they started doing transgender awareness training.
Tell them to get out.
And I was like, okay, this is not in a room with a bunch of team guys. You know, I was like,
I can only imagine what that was like.
I was like, I am out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's changed a lot. I mean, everybody I've talked to is still in, even guys that are at the command, they're like just counting the days.
That's crazy.
Oh, Hegseth came in, dropped the hammer the other day, man. Secretary of War. That was one of the coolest things I've heard. I was like, hey, man, we shouldn't be on no defense. No Department of Defense. It'd be Department of War.
Yeah.
Like, we don't go on defense, man.
Yeah.
You step up, we come in and crush the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
I like that title.
It's badass. Mm-hmm. I hope he sticks around, man.
Great dude.
Yeah. I hope so, too.
At first, when he got that job, I was like, whoa, I think we're too young for that, aren't we, man? But he stepped in it. He didn't give a damn, dude.
No.
I mean, he went in there with it swinging.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They all do.
They all, yeah. I mean, it was freaking legit, dude. Looks the part.
Yep.
So I'm stoked for him to have that. Yeah, I hope he keeps it. I hope they keep him on some form or fashion, even when it's done.
Dude, I would not want to be sitting across the table if it was him, Vance, and Trump.
Can you imagine that?
I'd be like, I did it.
It only takes three.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
We got this thing. I did it. Whatever. Yep. You're right. Sorry. Forgive me. But yeah.
I'm How do I make this better?
Yeah. I'm a sinner.
Oh my gosh. When you were getting out, did you have an idea of what you wanted to do or where you wanted to go?
Mm-mm.
Did you use any of the programs like Honor Foundation or anything like that?
No. That was just standing up at the time and, you know, I stayed in the reserves for 5 years, so that...
Oh, you did? Oh, you went 17?
18.
18, I mean?
Yeah, and at the time, 18 had a good deal going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was still pretty good, so that was kind of like a safety net, but it was kind of a last-minute decision to, like, get off active duty, too. There's a lot of things playing up to, but I was like, whatever, I'll figure it out. But a lot of those programs, like Honor Foundation was just really starting... And then, like, the Care Coalition or Skill Bridge, that really hadn't, it wasn't advertised that much yet, which is a great program.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean.
All those are. Oh, yeah. They're rolling now.
Yeah.
Marcus was the guinea pig for Care Coalition.
Yeah.
Really?
It didn't work that well for him.
Everything came online when I got put in the position I was in. Because, you know, I didn't get out.
Yeah.
I just got pulled off the line. Yeah. And, so I was always protected, but I didn't have to go through any of that stuff. But they were standing up, while I could see them coming up. And now, any team guys that are in, I would say stay in as long as you can. And then when you get out, we got something for you. That's a great thing about our community, man.
Yeah.
When they sent us out, everyone separated, which sucked. You know, that's why guys are dying, and it's just hard. I'm a firm believer that when you get out, you should be assigned a swim buddy that you have to check in with every Sunday.
Yeah.
Like a team guy that you literally have to check in with every Sunday.
Yeah.
If not more than, at least one.
Yeah.
Because you know how we are, man. We're all, there's always two of us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There should be a network. Like there's a little always freaking two of us. Group text or something checking in on y'all. Because y'all can go down a rabbit hole when you get out. And there definitely needs to be some sort of accountability.
I don't even know if rabbit hole is a proper term for it. It should be abyss.
Yeah. No, we blew the rabbit hole up.
Yeah, freaking down there. Killed the rabbit and took over the
all the stuff.
Started wearing the rabbit.
Wearing the rabbit.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Dude. You know what I mean? Just wearing a rabbit skin hat.
There's no rabbit in there.
Got to pull you out of here, dude. It's enough. You need to get out.
Oh, gosh. So what did you do when you got out?
So did, you know, the reserve stuff. I was in medical sales for a little bit. Got out of medical sales when I got down here to Houston and then got into private aviation about 2.5 years ago.
Oh, nice. What do you do with that?
It's a brokerage firm. So we, you know, it's like a real estate agent for private jets. So
good for you, man.
Yeah. It's
some of our guys getting the, like, how do you even find that?
They found me. Yeah. On LinkedIn.
Hunter and I are trying to get a sponsorship from Gulfstream.
Yeah. Yeah,
like I'm not above that. I kind of want to go down there and be like, hey, look, I mean, if you guys don't sponsor anybody, I think you should at least do one.
Marcus actually spoke to Gulfstream like many, many, many years ago.
I'm trying to be the best human being on the planet for you. You know what I mean?
Let me get a G5, dude. Come on.
Yeah, just... I mean, I'm not going to have a fusion, okay? Let me just have it over there.
I'll wash it.
Yeah. I get some of my buddies to fly it. It'll be a great time. You know, great advertisement. I have a farm with trees on it to offset my carbon emission.
Yeah.
I've already got that standing by. So, you know,
would be happy with a Pilatus.
Whatever. That's the one perk on the planet that's legit. You got one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're playing.
You're a different just, playing field then.
Yeah. Those are great.
My dad did really well financially in life. And he always said the only difference between someone with a lot of money and no money is the way they travel. And I really think that that's true. Like when you can get to that level of flying private, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
I don't like doing it alone. I think that's a waste. I was like, man, but you know, have a couple people in there with you.
Yeah. I mean, cause we don't, it's not every day we're going to do that. So when you do it,
take advantage of it.
Yeah.
For sure. And how long were you there with them?
Are you still doing that?
Yeah, I'm still doing that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Schwartz Aviation Group. They're the office is out of Argyle, so it's like
what kind of planes y'all pushing?
Anything, whatever the client needs.
You need to sponsor somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe this is what this is, son.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I'll give you advertisement every day. Yeah. I'll wear your shirt.
No, but it's a good crew. It's two prior Marines, prior Navy.
Oh, cool.
Prior Army dude.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yep.
So what brought you to Houston? Was it the medical sales?
It was. That helped. And then also still having family
here.
And I wanted to be in Texas, and Houston was probably the best. Between like Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, and then like Austin, Houston's probably fits me the best.
Yeah.
Because they're different.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who's thinking about coming to Texas or moving here, y'all need to know that.
Yeah.
Our cities are different.
Every city is.
The vibe's completely different.
Very culturally different.
Yeah.
I grew up in Houston, but then I went to high school, just my 4 years of high school in Dallas, and it was so different. I'm like, I remember looking in the mirror saying, I am not a Dallas girl. Like this.
Yeah.
I don't belong here. I need to go back home.
Yeah. We were just in Dallas last night. It's different.
It's so different. It's more fancy for sure. Houston's so laid back, and I feel like true Texas.
I always like compare it to like California. San Diego's Houston.
Yeah.
Dallas is LA. Austin's like
San Fran.
Yeah.
That's true. I never thought about it like that.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to stack that.
So let's get into July 4th.
Yep.
This year. Where were you when that flood happened?
We were down in Palacios. So it's on the bay, like the coast.
Yeah.
It was Colin and I. We went into, there's a town over from Palacios, and we were actually buying fireworks. And then we went and sat down for lunch. One of his brothers met us there. And we were about to go back. Jess was down there with us. So they were back at the bay house. And then Colin and his brother, I forgot who it was. They were just like, they're both going back and forth. Like, you seeing this? And like, up to that point, all I knew is like, I knew that there's some rain out there, but no idea. And this is on the 4th actually. So, and Colin the weekend prior just picked his daughter. Both his kids went to school. His son went to La Junta, and then his daughter grew up going to Baltimore. So they're going back and forth, and they're like visibly upset. Like, I was like, dude, what's going on? And then they showed me the videos of like the cabins getting, you know, swept away. And I was like, damn. And, you know, Colin, 300 Justice, obviously, we do a lot of stuff with other team guys and all that. And he's like, do you think you could get some guys together to go up there? Like, I was like, yeah, I think I can wrangle some guys up. And obviously, like through the Seal Future Foundation app, you put one thing out there, within 5 minutes you're getting a response. And so while Colin was working with his buddy, they're working the phones and they're getting in touch with like the Womplers, the Orms, everybody. They're setting
great
up.
Great family.
Oh yeah, awesome family. So they're kind of setting up logistics up there while I was organizing some dudes, and there's some guys, like Brett Boudreaux is up there already.
Great man.
Yep. Dave Reuter. I don't know if you've met Dave yet.
I don't think so.
You'll meet him. He went up there. So they were the first ones really up there. Then I left Saturday morning, pretty much stopped at, we ordered a bunch of chainsaws and stuff at Lowe's. So I picked up that, headed out, met up with Billy Keating in San Antonio, and then Aaron Kendall.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
We love Kendall.
Yeah.
He is one of our favorite human beings in the world.
Yeah. And
are you the one that brought all those chainsaws? The steels that were numbered 1 through 12 or whatever?
One through whatever. Clint Orms bought all those. Do you have
that one? How about that?
Do you have a couple? I think I saw a couple in your barn. Dude.
Oh, I got a bunch of that. The kid runs with steel. But
I buy those for every steal holiday. Any of them.
Yeah.
No,
but the thought did cross my mind. I got a little criminal still left in there. Yeah, man, yeah, and I was like, dude, look at these.
That looks like that'll look good in my truck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every team guy, I think, is like, hey, man, how do you get gear? You commandeer it.
Yeah.
It didn't have anybody's name on it.
You know, out here, life runs on community. Neighbors helping neighbors, showing up when it counts, and that's exactly what our friends at Tractor Supply are all about. At the heart of every strong community are the people who serve, our veterans, active duty military, first responders, and the families who stand right beside them. These are the folks who protect, sacrifice, and keep life out here moving forward. And Tractor Supply gets that. That's why they created Hometown Heroes Program, just a way to show real appreciation beyond just words. It's packed with meaningful, everyday benefits through their Neighbors Club, just like 2% back on every purchase, free trailer rentals and same-day delivery twice per quarter, and quarterly 5% off coupons. And just when you thought that was enough, they also have special discounts on hero holidays like Veterans Day and First Responders Day. Once you verify your status through ID.me, the perks apply automatically. No hoops, no hassle. We're in Tractor Supply literally all the time, grabbing cattle cubes, chicken feed, and even food for the pups. It's always felt more like a community than a store, and that's what makes it feel so special. If you or someone you love is a hometown hero, go visit tractorsupply.com/hometownheroes and get signed up today. It's Tractor Supply's way of standing right behind those who stand for us. Again, that is tractorsupply.com/hometownheroes.
So then, yeah, we met, we stayed at Wampler's Saturday night, and then, when did you guys got there Sunday?
Sunday
after church. I 4th of July, we were at the ranch, yeah. So I don't watch the news, I don't have my phone on me or anything like that, and then...
Morgan called you.
Morgan called, and he was like, hey, grab your kit, we're going. I was like, what's up? He's like, we got to go he said Kerrville at first, and I was like, all right, what's going on, man? He's like, there's a flood up there at Mystic, and there's some babies missing. Mm-hmm. And then I looked over at Mel, and she's like, get your stuff.
Well, we went to church that morning.
Yeah, I had to go to church.
Because we were like, let's pray about it. And because we were actually supposed to leave. Marcus had an event for an organization in Idaho, and we were supposed to leave that next morning to go to Idaho. And so when we're contracted for something, we don't break it. And I was really nervous about breaking that. And it had been in the works for, damn near a year. It was something set in stone that we were supposed to go to. And so I was like, let's go to church and let's just pray about it while we're there. And in mass, the priest is talking about like floods and
didn't have anything to do with
people.
What was going
like,
on with Mystic.
Yeah, it would just happen to be part of mass, and Marcus was like, I gotta go.
I was like
yeah, I'm like, hey, okay. Yeah, it was definitely
your sign.
Yeah,
it was definitely a sign. Whatever, I don't remember exactly what verse it was or whatever, but it was a very clear sign.
Like I picked my head up. I
was yeah, like,
did you hear that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as soon as we got home from mass, he packed the truck up and left and met y'all out there.
Yeah.
I went straight to the youth center. Morgan was already there. So he slept in his truck.
Yeah, I remember that. I was like, dude, we have a house.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't you sleep
cool
in your truck?
Yeah, I was like, it's a cool story now. I was like, man, dude, we were sleeping in the truck.
I remember asking, I was like, what is wrong with you two, man? We got...
But I remember walking into the command center.
EOC.
Yeah, with everybody in there. And in the beginning, when everything's chaos, they were squaring that place away. Just everything that showed up there was amazing.
Yeah.
Cotton came in there and was serving food to everybody and had that trailer. Yeah. That company's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And then where'd you go when you first got there? Did you go straight to Mystic?
Yeah, we went straight to right there where the overflow is, that dam.
Yeah, that dam right there.
That's where we all hiked it. All of us dropped in right there.
Right there. And I try to tell people, I was like, you'll know if somebody was there when that guardrail.
Yep.
Remember that thing? Mm-hmm. That thing was twisted. So it was. We can't talk about it and do it justice the way that sucker looked, man. That was,
no, that's raw steel.
That raw was, steel. It was the way it was twisted.
Like a corkscrew.
Yes.
Tighter though. It was.
Yeah. It was really made you feel how small,
you are. Like, that's what that did. When as soon as you rolled in there, and then the town was just demolished.
Yeah.
So who was who? Tell me who 300 Justice is.
So it's technically it's a barbecue cook team that competes in the Houston Cook-Off. It's a 501c3. They have always been huge supporters of the teams. They got one team guy that was on the team, Yanni, prior to me getting there. Yeah.
Great human being. Yeah. I mean, you were talking about it all the time, man. Yanni's the best.
So then they also, a lot of them, they went to high school together out in Katy. And then 300 Justice is an address where they, at Stephen F. Austin, that was like the house they lived in.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And then Brian Bourgeois, he was the teammate CEO training accident.
Yeah.
So they went to high school with him. So they've always kind of had like a memorial type thing for him. And then I got brought in a couple years back, and then we've really just intensified what we do a lot of stuff with law enforcement, and then also transitioning team guys and active duty guys. And then this happened, and we're not by any means a search and rescue outfit, but we knew that we could help. And then, you know, with our network and everything, we were able to pull funds in to do whatever we could. So now it's just kind of blossoming into what it is, which is all good, positive stuff. But it's a good organization. We're this close to being signed up for CARE Coalition. So we'll be able to bring a guy in that's going to get out, and he can, it's a safe place to land to while he figures his stuff out. So just a good group of dudes, and still cook a lot. We're going to cook for Cindy's foundation thing that they're doing in Houston, Axelson's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just try to help where we can, really.
How did we get linked up with Baltimore? I say Voldemort like it's Harry Potter. It's
Voldemort.
My little sister actually has gone to that camp every year. This year was the first year she didn't go.
Yeah.
And y'all ended up staying there, didn't you?
That's what I'm saying. It was just team guys. The staff came in and would cook for us, and then we had the run of the place to ourselves.
Yeah. I think it was Kendall.
Kendall got that hooked up?
I think he had that hooked up.
Look, do you remember her name? The head lady.
I never met her.
It's a family thing.
Yeah.
They got those oil paintings of all the ladies that have been in charge of that place since.
Oh, really?
Remember that in the office?
It's a legit camp. No,
dude, I only went one day to check something.
So I was in there thumbing around in there trying to find some stuff, minding my own business. And she shows up, and I'm behind the counter kind of looking around and stuff. I'm like, and she's like, hello. And I was like, oh, okay,
Don't mind me. Everything looks good.
Like, all these ladies are beautiful, by the way. You know, trying to clear the air. And she talked to us for a while. I think her daughter was with her too. And they were great.
Yeah.
I never got a chance to thank them for...
I think it's Meg Clark.
Meg? Thank you for having us out there, and because it was good to get off the river and sleep there. We had a hot shower and good food.
Yeah,
which is all a team guy really needs.
I mean, that wasn't. I walked in and just checking out one day, and I was like, "This is nicer than anywhere that I stayed in the SEAL teams."
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's all those camps along the river are so nice, and what happened at Mystic is just absolutely terrible, but with all of like volunteers like y'all, to be able to get so many of the girls back to their families, I know there's still one missing.
Seal,
right?
Yeah. Do you think that that's ever going to be a possibility to get her back?
Well, we always think so.
There'll be some closure at some point in some way, shape, or form, I'm sure. I mean, that's just how things kind of pan out most of the time, but
Yeah. I remember a lot of us were talking about, like, hey, if you had to be buried somewhere, this would be the place to be buried because of how beautiful it is there.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole place, if we, for whatever reason, if we can't find her, then we know where she's at.
Yeah.
And there's some closure in that. I'm not saying for the families. I couldn't even imagine being in that with everybody that we had, everything that we had to go through out there. There's nothing we could say to them.
Yeah.
No.
What was that like for y'all going through the river and doing the search and rescue? That's not typically what y'all do, but you did it.
I mean, it was, I think, like, for the, I'm sure this has happened to you too. Like, when you got, like, actually boots on ground, right when, like the river's just swept through that place. So, like, there's definitely, I think everybody kind of, we all dropped in the same spot. Everybody kind of scattered, and it was just quiet for a second. I think everybody, I mean, I was taking it in, you know, and just kind of like, you don't even know where to start. You're trying to comprehend what just happened.
Yeah, because of the debris.
Oh, yeah, and just like.
I mean, the freaking debris field. That's the same thing happened to me.
Yeah.
Because then you're at that point, like, I hope I don't find anything. I hope I find it. And they were never where you thought.
Yeah.
It's where you were standing looking where you think they were, and you'd be standing where they were. And then the when the cadaver dog showed up and the backhoe driver, the maintainers showed up. Game changers, those guys. The game wardens.
Dustin.
Oh, Dustin.
Dustin Fleming.
Guy, man.
Good to go.
And, dude. Because I've always been rolled up by the game wardens.
Yeah.
You know, they're always tying me into a knot and freaking coming down on me, man. So it was kind of, matter of fact, I was a little apprehensive when they first, oh man, I don't have any steel shells on me or anything like that. And he was that dude was legit, man.
He's awesome.
And DPS, they did their freaking jobs. That Marine opened up that camp. He was freaking awesome.
Yep.
But the ones that'll never get any attention or no one will ever know who they are the maintainers. Guys driving those machines.
Yeah.
Were they with the city or who were they with?
I think it showed.
We
were just volunteers.
Through like the local cowboys in that area, like the Wamplers and you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Through their network and their resources, like we had like an army.
It was freaking army. You remember that guy, the one that was driving his wife sitting on the outside of the cab?
Yes.
And she just sat there all day.
Spotting.
Didn't move.
No.
And that thing was working. He was so good with that machine. He could literally pull little sticks away and she'd see something and she'd stop everybody like a mama, just focused on it. And we'd all attack because we'd be sitting around the pile. And then we'd go in and attack that thing. And if we'd find anything, we'd back off of it and she'd be like, go. And he'd just sit in there the whole time, man, maneuvering through those trees. The debris field was, you could barely even walk through it. But man, they would tear that stuff up.
Oh, dude. Well, we didn't, before the heavy machinery got there, it was just chainsaws and hands. I was with your brother and Billy.
Yeah.
Like sifting through this debris pile for hours.
Just one pile would take all day. Probably more than that, actually.
Oh, yeah. Just literally picking up, and then the machines came in and it was like game on.
Game on. And those freaking dogs.
Yeah.
And then I remember we would move down the river. And then the next day we'd start back because we passed something. Like how many times did we walk over somebody before we even found them?
Yeah.
Because they were buried under when the cypress trees, I'm not saying that, the cypress trees got ripped up, all the ground from underneath, the dirt and everything flew with it. So it would cover the bodies and then the wood debris field would cover that.
Yeah.
So you're talking they would be buried 15, 20 feet under all that. We'd have to sift through that.
And the dogs could sniff that out?
They could smell it. But the problem we were running into, and this is why it was so key to have the cadaver dogs, is because of everything else that was dead around it.
Yeah.
Horses, pigs, deer, dogs, just fish. Man, all the fish that were dead on the soil. That's why when you walked into the valley, it smelled like death through the whole thing. Just permeated through the whole place. And then all the cars that were in there. Remember that BMW?
Yeah.
There was nothing left of it besides the only reason you knew it was a BMW because the rims on the tires had the emblem.
Yeah. Paint was literally.
Everything was gone.
Sandblasted off. Yeah.
That's insane.
And then one of the best parts was for us, because there was two things that happened. Once when all the team guys got around and we got activated in the river, we got this whole feeling like we were back together again.
Yes.
I mean, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, I wanted to be there, and it just felt like that. And then the mission itself. But then at the end of the day, there was this Baptist church out there.
Ginger.
Yeah.
Hunt Baptist. She's awesome.
And they had a high bay. We took that over, and then this barbecue truck set up shop in there. God, I can't remember their names.
That was our truck.
There was two, the first one that came in there.
Oh, I forget. They're awesome.
They're awesome too, yeah.
Yeah, we still talk to them.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good, yeah, they were great. He's probably going to kick my ass next time I see him for forgetting that, man. But so we had everything. They had all these clothes and stuff in the church, and then when you came down, there was always food waiting on you for free. So they would just, it was like the best utopia you could live in.
Oh, yeah.
And then we just lay on the ground. Oh, and then they started bringing artists in to play music for us. So we just lay there at the end of the day and recoup and rest. And then we go to sleep at Baltimore and then come back and get breakfast. They were sitting there waiting on us.
Baltimore.
Yep, that place. And then we would just sit there and eat and then freaking go out and hit the river. I'll never forget that one redneck down at that barbecue pit. Had him cut off jeans on. And that shirt had a neck. It was a metal, heavy metal shirt. Had a neck cut out, man. He's like, I'll make the best hot dogs on the planet of Earth, man. Here, have one. Like, he would sell it.
You talking about that guy that hung out on the steps?
No.
Okay. Dude, no, okay. I was like,
the coffee guy?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, not him.
Yeah. He was asked to leave.
Yeah, the coffee guy. And then, but another funny thing that happened to us was there's this guy showed up named Dale.
Oh.
And I mean, he was like he had every acronym, QUAL, you can imagine, worked for every three letter agency, and he was just freaking going through the numbers on it. So there were times there that were kind of fun for us.
Oh yeah,
that would.
Well, he was there to talk to JD Vance, apparently.
Yeah,
that's what.
Yeah. He came, dude. He's got showed up ready to rock and roll, man. He's not in here. No. He's at the house. Damn it, I should have had him down here when you walked in. I'm sorry, I forgot it. But there was a couple of guys that showed up down there that would bring a kind of light the day up.
Oh, dude. I mean, everything aside from the situation, you know. But it was a lot of funny, good times, man.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of good came from all that. And I think
that's the only way you get through it.
Yeah.
You'd sit there and find all these babies and stuff like that, man. That'll kill you. That'll kill you on the inside. I mean, there's some of that stuff you can't get out of your head. I know Mojo got one. And I don't know how the SWAT guys, the ones that were running the box, because they had everybody. Everybody that we found, they had to go to them first. And then so they had to see everything.
It's so hard.
Hats off to them dudes, man.
Yeah.
That's the ones Morgan buddied up with.
Yeah.
The SWAT dudes.
Nice.
Yeah. He freaking loves them, man.
So if you're moving forward, when there's a disaster, because we experienced this with Hurricane Harvey, like how people just like droves come together. What do you think is the best way to like get the word out to come and help and to do the logistics? Like, you almost need a point man, and there's so many moving parts to that. How would it be more effective in the future to get everyone together?
I mean, I think, yeah, you have to have a point man. You have to have, I mean, you probably need more than that. I mean, just what we saw, the influx of people wanting to help, where it's like, you kind of felt bad turning them away, but it's like, dude, there's nothing like.
It's a weird dynamic, right?
Yeah, because it's like the more people sometimes, the harder it becomes, and everybody just wants to help. But like, you know, we were fortunate to get in the way we got in. I don't think any of us had expectations either. We didn't ask anybody. No one was there yet. It was just us.
It was just us.
It was just us. So I think that helped our case. Definitely Mr. Abbott hooked us up big time.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mr. Abbott.
Yeah.
Like Governor Abbott?
He gave us the green light.
Yep.
We were about to get shut down, and we were able to have a conversation with him. He was like, here's a number. If you have a problem, call. I was like, thank you. And then
I was like, can we have badges?
Yeah. Can I get that guy? I'm going to take that guy's gun.
Can you sign that? Just sign this, sir.
No, but like, to answer your question, it's just getting if this happened to get in Texas, hopefully it doesn't, obviously, you know, I can only speak to 300 Justice, but yeah, we definitely respond and just get in touch with, in that situation, yeah, somebody at our organization. And then hopefully you never have to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But would, so when, if people were sending money to 300 Justice at the time, because I think there was like a Venmo going on or something, what was being used? What were y'all using that?
We were, so we were flying guys in, team guys from out of state. If they wanted to help, you would fly them in. So like lodging, travel cost, equipment, rentals. So the dive equipment we rented, I think one of like the law enforcement's side by sides went down or something. So it needed like a new, something in the engine.
Most of the stuff, machine gun, keep it running.
Yeah. So we paid like, you know, just like wherever we could. And then we had a lot of money left over and we brought Ava and Jess has been hugely supportive in this, but we're like, what do we do with all this money? And we just donated a lot to La Junta, gave them a lot of money, and then we're going to try to get involved with them.
I'll tell you what, it paid off because we were through there the other day. We went back. He and I both went back.
Yep.
And they've cleaned it up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it looks brand new. Some of those spots where you're thinking, like, I don't know how you're going to repair this. They came in, dropped new dirt and rock down the bridges, the roads. I mean, it looks like it didn't even get touched.
Yeah.
So it definitely, the money and all the hard work. I mean, they're still there.
Oh, yeah.
But they definitely got that place cleaned up.
Yes.
And I think with how chaotic it was, they did a great job.
Yes.
I mean, look, we got it done, right? Everyone got that done.
Yes.
You could tell. Matter of fact, that's when we left. You could tell when the feds came in because they started dropping kind of the hammer on all of us, and there was these sections, everybody, and we got this. So there was that little rub. And
yeah.
We kind of popped smoke and got out of there. But with the DPS, the game wardens, who am I missing? The city boys and the county boys.
Well, and then the fire department.
The fire department. They were clutch, man. Because we could get our radios and dive gear and shovel and all that stuff. They had all that in there to make that work. And with the team guys, we're not on anybody's thumb, so we just stayed out there.
Yeah.
And we just kept getting in the water and moving down the river, and then we'd come back, and then the police would move in. We'd get out of their way. They'd go through. We'd backfill them. So we had basically, there was a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
And then when everything tightened up, you could tell when the money rolled in, like with FEMA and the contractors, like the big construction companies rolled in. You knew me. You could tell who they were.
Yeah.
They weren't a hodgepodge. They rolled in heavy.
Yeah.
And that's when we kind of backed out of there.
It's time to go.
Yeah, it's time to go.
I think we set the tone.
Yeah.
Which is good. Like, we weren't there for fame or anything, but I think it was cool to see like our approach to that, because again, we didn't know what we were doing, but we found a system, we started using it, and I feel like some of the other organizations that are out there kind of picked up. I mean, it was a very effective way to do it. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it left a good mark on some people. So,
well, what y'all did was incredible, and nobody really knew it. I mean, nobody knew that y'all were out there doing that. But I love that, like, when team guys come together when there's a tragedy and do whatever they can to just help and lend, you know, expertise to that. And it also gives y'all purpose too. So
yeah,
it definitely does. I felt that.
Yeah, for sure.
Like that old fire came outside me. I loved it. I didn't want to leave.
For sure. No.
I don't want to leave. Just as long as we had a place to eat and lay down when we got tired, which is whatever, and we just worked our asses off, man.
And I know that there's like teams like Team Rubicon and RWB. Like, there's a couple of other disaster relief type teams, but I feel like when there is a disaster, there's always this organic way of team guys just coming together and not being part of a certain organization.
We should call ourselves the Bastards.
Yeah, you do need to come up with a name.
Something cool. Like, this is just, you're part of that? Yeah.
I'm down.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It already exists. We just haven't named it.
Yeah. Just this.
Because you're right. As soon as you got on that app and kicked that out, you know, and then guys will see the bat signal in the wind.
Oh, I didn't even know about the app. So
it's awesome.
So what is this? It's just for team guys?
Do you have the app?
No.
Yeah.
You do?
I got it there.
Oh.
Yeah. It's the SEAL Future Foundation. So it's a nonprofit that helps transitioning SEALs. And big shout out to them too, Aaron Presor and Leah Crosby and Waco. I saw them last night, and they were handling a huge amount of the effort, so they were instrumental.
It's like our command and control.
Yeah. They have the reach. We had reach any which way we wanted to go between the SEAL Future Foundation, the families up in the area of the Cowboys. It was good. But so the app, yeah, there's a team guy only frequency. That's what they on there. And it's just it's an open message board pretty much. So you can post anything on there. Everybody sees it. And usually you get a response.
Man, if you get the 10 of us off that app, then even to the guys that are on the app, it'll reach them.
Yes.
Like we talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Faster than the text message, man. We definitely communicate like this, especially in those situations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Guys have got bags packed up, ready to go, stored in the barn, just looking for something to do.
Yeah.
It's like they just go about their normal life, being accountants and selling airplanes and everything else.
Yeah.
Something freaking crazy comes out, and then they throw on the bat suit and get to work.
Yeah, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it gives y'all a sense of purpose and that brotherhood back together. And y'all do best when there's tragedy. I mean, that's just how y'all are.
What does that say about us? Oh, my God.
You were raised in darkness, but you bring the light out.
Amen. Well, bro, what's next? What do you got going up?
Not much. Just, you know, normal work stuff. Got to go out to Vegas Sunday for, like, a jet convention out there. So I'll go with my company. It's a work event.
Marcus will go with you.
Do you like that?
You're just looking to sponsor somebody, bro. Like yeah. I said, I'll wear the shirt and talk about you every day. I'll talk about my plane to people. You know,
the plane
I got a picture
wants.
In front of it. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Those airplane conventions. I've been to one.
I
spoke at one.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I actually got the line that you get if you go to walk up to one of the planes and say, hey, how much does this thing cost? And she's like, if you have to ask me, you can't afford it. I got that. I experienced that line.
It's too. Pretty accurate, though.
It's pretty accurate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of the jumbo jets, too. So it kind of caught my eye. Had the movie theater and everything in the back of it.
Yeah, you like that one?
Oh, God, that thing is tough. It's tough, man. Just anybody who rolls like that.
You just didn't like the paint job?
Yeah. You got a different color?
And what we're in the market for is one of those, like, go-karts that flies.
Yeah, with the propellers. I'll take whatever.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm not high managed.
That's funny. So how can people help 300 Justice?
So now, you know, obviously there's still some people up there, but we're kind of focusing on the future of what we're doing. So mm-hmm. one of the things is I've talked to you about this, and actually they reached out to me on Monday. I'll talk to you about it afterwards, but the fathers.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're calling like the 27.
Yeah, put me on that.
So they reached back out. They want to do, we want to give them kind of like the equivalent of like a post-deployment retreat, a decompression for the dads. It's up to them. We're letting, like I've let them kind of reach out to me when they're ready, but the idea is to set them up on a weekend where they, you know, at a ranch or whatever, where they can go and just be with the dudes. Some of us, if they want us there, we'll go just to kind of be around them, you know, cook some food, shoot some guns, whatever they want to do. And just kind of hang out and see if, you know, just kind of therapy, just the brotherhood therapy, you know, just being there. So, you know, we're working on that. And then another family, the Linwoods, met them. They were a huge, huge supporter. She did a very good speech last night, Miss Linwood, about the relief efforts that we did, everything like that. So there's a lot of people out there, you know, that supported and you just didn't know. So it's a great, great thanks to all them. But yeah, moving forward, you know, we have a website, you know, any of those funds towards that will go towards something. And right now I think our main focus is probably going to be setting up like a retreat for these dads sometime here soon. So we can get together on that. Like, so,
and can people donate towards that?
Yeah, they absolutely could.
And they just go, what's the
300justiceroad.com. There should be a link. And if not, we're getting email, like the emails are set up. I still need to set mine up. But if you go to 300justiceroad.com, there's directions on how to do it. And okay, there's an email if there's questions.
Awesome. That would be really good for y'all.
Yeah. Got to wrap this up. Anybody had anything to do with coming to Mystic and helping out from the first responders?
Yes.
One of the ones we'll never even know who you're.
No,
there.
And, I mean, and those, anybody that does, anybody that did and they know us, if they have issues, they can reach us and we'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. God bless y'all, man. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. You were there, you know?
Yeah.
And your brother and Jess and everybody.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yep. Great job, brother.
Thank you.
No, thank you.